All right. Hi, everybody. Good to see you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's Wednesday night, Kingdom Night, faith teaching. I do want to mention on Sunday, I mentioned being on a broadcast with buddy Chris, his ministry. Will you throw that up there so we can get the exact name and all that on YouTube? And it's Psalms 89:14 Ministries. I think I said it was 89:4 or something the other day, but I wanted to make that correction if anybody wants to go check out his YouTube channel. Okay, Psalms 89:14. Chris, I did it. I did it, son. I fixed it. In Jesus' name. All right, here we go. Last time we got together, we was in part 30, and so let's go over some of the bullet points again, and let's see how we can unpack this even further, because we are going to get to some of these we haven't talked about. But faith leaves a legacy. Faith leaves a legacy. You know, it's amazing how that people that we know that have gone before us, that really walked the walk, maybe some of your old pastors or saints in the church, mothers of the church, what have you, you know, you remember their names. You remember how strong they were in Christ and those different things. So faith leaves a legacy. We need to start thinking about leaving an impact on people's lives. Not that you're going anywhere, but you need to start thinking, man, what can I do to impact my family and people around me? So faith is prepaid, but you must be willing to accept it. Faith is prepaid. It's already been done for you. Faith is there, the power of God. I don't like using this word in a loose way, but the energy of God, the glory of God, the ability of God, the access of God is there. It's already there, but you got to be willing to accept it. Everybody's born again has a seed and a measure of faith. You just have to develop it. It's no different than a muscle. You know what a muscle is, right? That's a muscle. And once you get your muscles going and you get bigger and older, they start getting larger and you become stronger. Is that right? It's the same concept in the spirit with faith. But we don't lift weights, we lift the word. All right. So faith has a mother. We talked about that. Somebody will help you birth that into your life. Again, mother, it's not far as gender, but we know mothers give birth. But you have to have a father to have birth. Is anybody here? And so it's an ideology, it's an understanding that faith has a mother. There's a birthing to it. And then faith operates in precision, and faith has a sound and a song. So we got through that. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, we are looking at verse 2. Let's just scurry through that real quick, on through a few verses, and then we'll get into tonight. Is that all right? Just to refresh our memories. And he had two wives, poor fella, remember that? And the name of the one was Hannah, not Hananiah from last week. I couldn't figure out what, because, you know, I preached so much on Hananiah from Jeremiah. It just stuck in my head. I was like, Hananiah, Hananiah. So I practiced while I got home. Hannah, 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 Hannah. Okay. The one was Hannah, and the other one was Penaniah, and Penaniah had a children, but Hannah had no children. What a bummer, huh? Don't you think that was a bad spot for Hannah? I do. Next verse. And this man went up to the city, out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli were Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. So he's going to do his thing. Next verse. We can scurry along. And when the time was that let me get his name right here. I got it pronounced out here so you can have it better. Elkanah. Elkanah. It's kind of hard to say. I want to always call it Naya, but it's Elkanah. Offered, he came to Penaniah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, gave him portions. So next verse. But unto Hannah, he gave a very worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. This, I was trying to get to this point. Remember I told you last time about the way that the Hebrew writing and the way the understanding was that when a person was barren, they always looked back and said, God did it. And there was an understanding that there were occasions where he would do that. And then there was occasions where he didn't do it. It just was a natural a situation, physically, medically, whatever, they couldn't have it. But in this particular case, Jennifer and I were talking about it, and she says, I believe God shut up Hannah's womb. And I said, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with that, because here's the deal. Watch this. Sometimes there's a season that God will hold back a blessing in order to produce it in another season. In other words, the first season or a certain season, you weren't ready for the child. You weren't ready for the blessing. You weren't ready for the promotion. You weren't ready for this or for that. God holds it back, even though you are yearning for it. And in that waiting period, holding period, and probation period, you have a deep crying and a deep desire like Hannah did. And then, bam, it comes to pass. And you have what God always wanted to give you, but he wanted in his season. I believe that's exactly what happened with Hannah, is that God did withhold for this entire story to come to pass. And he needed her. Watch this. This is all faith teaching. He needed her to help give birth first in faith, in the spirit, before naturally it could be done. Naturally was easy to God. But he needed a womb. He needed a person. He needed somebody to push through spiritually in order for it to happen. Do you see that? So it's the same thing for you and I. The same understanding is that we could be longing for something, and God's waiting on us to push and to pray to the point we just come to the realization, I can't move another step until you do this. You're not challenging God. God's like, really? I've been waiting. I've been waiting. You know, thank you. I'm glad you finally did something. But no, he's waiting on us to that point, because what's happening is you're at the point of birth. You're at the point of conception. You're at the point of delivery. And God is trying to get us to where we push to see that happening. Does that make any sense to you? So again, I wanted to go back and touch that, and I'm teaching a little more than I did on the last time, because I just gave you the Hebrew expression that they would blame it on God, and then sometimes, you know, it wouldn't be God, or it would be God. But in this particular case, I absolutely agree and concur that it was God moving on Hannah in order to get a Samuel. Come on. He needed Samuel on the earth. And so he used her, and he used her desperation, and he used her barren womb. See, faith sometimes is barren at first. Come on, help me tonight. I know I'm going past recap, but faith is barren sometimes. What does that mean? Sometimes you don't feel it. You know, sometimes you don't feel the conception. Sometimes you don't feel what God has done or what he's going to do in your life. But you don't go by that feeling. You go by the seed that you know is in there. Come on, somebody. Help me, Jesus. Somebody. You know that seed is in you. And you know that God's going to give birth to it. But he needs you to give birth to it first through prayer and intercession. That's a very powerful principle, and I hope somebody anywhere caught that. I know I caught it. And so if you hear me hollering, I'm just giving birth. Is that all right? Kind of weird, but I'm going to do it. All right. Next verse. Just a couple more, because I think we can launch off that. But then here we go. Her adversary provoked her again. Here's the provoking. Her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Again, she was fretting. Now, she may not know that God held back her womb for the purpose of Samuel. Sometimes we don't understand the total purpose, but we do know what we want. Come on. Sometimes we don't understand it all. We don't get the full vision. What's God trying to do in my life? Why am I uncomfortable in this position? Well, what's stirring me? What's making me fret? What's making me anxious? Why am I dealing with this? It may just be that God is using that situation to push you into the place of desperation, to where you say, God, I have to have this, no matter what. Because look at this, it's provoking her. Could you imagine every year they went up to worship and she's got the bundle full of children? They're all hanging on mama's skirt, and here's Hannah. Wait a minute, I'm the first love. I'm better looking than you, chick. Right? Makes me want to sing that Jolene song from Dolly Parton. Jolene, Jolene, you know, and there she is. She's, you know, I could just only imagine. So watch what happens here, how God takes that frustration. And as he did so year by year, again, here it is, year by year. So this is contextual. It goes with what was just said. So if he went there year by year, she provoked her year by year. And she went up to the house of the Lord and she provoked her. See? And there she wept and did not eat. So we're not going to go into the rest of it other than she got in there, she's crying, she's travailing, she's in the point to where she can't even speak words. It's just too much for her. I don't know if you've ever been in an intercessory time like that. I have been. I'm sure you have as well, where you just can't even talk. You've cried every tear you possibly could. You're almost at dry heaves. Sorry to be really express that, but you're just like, oh God, I can't, and you just can't say nothing. That's a powerful time in the Lord, and a lot of people have never experienced it. But how desperate are you? Okay, so we're not going to go anymore. I could just teach that for a while. So let's go to, this is part 31 now. We're going to go to verse 16, I think. Yeah, and then we're gonna run around from there and do this thing. Is that all right? I like recaps. You get some fresh stuff. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Baal. Remember that? I'm not a prostitute. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Again, that is such a powerful. This right here, I wrote this in my notes. You know, in the next verse, you know, this is true prayer. This is true prayer. Lord, I've just come to you out of my complaint. I've come to you out of my argument. I've come to you out of my grief, my fret, my anxiety. I'm just coming here to be raw with you. I think, and I truly believe that more prayers are answered when you're in the raw than when you're just being religious. Because raw is God. He loves raw. Just think about it. I mean, if you get in his presence, first thing you do is hit the ground. Because it's raw energy, raw power. He's awesome, right? So watch this. So this whole thing, this whole prayer thing, these couple of verses, to me is true prayer. Next verse. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition. Remember the petition that thou hast asked of him. So again, she's petitioning the Lord. This is another powerful aspect of prayer. This is not prayer class tonight, obviously, but in faith, there are times when you petition the Lord. I'm petitioning you. I'm coming to you with my list. I'm coming to you with my needs. And believe me, God doesn't have a problem with that. Let me try that again somewhere where I can find some faith. God doesn't have a problem with you bringing that list and saying, here's the list of my problems. I got this problem, check. I got that problem, check. You know, I'm not talking about bringing him your Christmas list and your, you know what I'm talking about, being mature. I have a list of things. I don't have it all together, God. He's like, yeah, I know. I knew that when I formed you in your mama's womb that you'd be a knucklehead and, you know. No, I know you're going to struggle. I know you're struggling. I know it. So let's get honest with each other and then petition them, right? You petition a king, don't you? We don't, but they did. They in Old Testament times and in some kingdoms of the world today, they still petition kings. And you petition judges. You petition people of authority, don't you? We'll do the same with God. All right, next verse. And she said, let the handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So she blesses the man of God. Let me find grace. You know, thank you for not considering me to be a temple prostitute or a harlot or drunk or any of those things. I've got grace. And she moves on. And then notice that she begins to eat and she's not sad anymore. Why is she not sad anymore? Was she pregnant right there? No. Not pregnant at all. She's in the house of the Lord. But she knew in her heart the Lord heard her. See, faith will do that. Faith will somehow, how many of y'all know, you've had this happen, we all have. You pray a prayer and you go, yeah, I got that. It's mine. And you just walk away in confidence knowing the Lord heard you. It's a weird thing, isn't it? It's kind of a different thing. With other prayers, you're like, you know, and you're praying, and there's nothing. You don't feel anything. A lot of times people are so concerned about feelings. We're not to be concerned about feelings, but there are times when faith will allow you to feel it. And she felt it. She knew she had the petition of the Lord. That's so powerful. And it all began with her giving birth first in the Spirit and saying, Lord, I got to have this. I got to have this child, and I trust you. I trust you. Something else I want you to see here. When she began to pray, she was prophesying. She was declaring and decreeing her future of what she wanted in a child. And a prophetic word could change your life forever. I want you to write that down. A prophetic word can change your life forever. It can change you. Here she was going from the temple, worship with her family and the other family, and seeing all these things year after year after year with her husband. But she had a word in her heart. And that prophetic word changed her. It changed her countenance. It changed her whole being. It made her demonstrous, if you will, in her prayer, intercessory, groaning, crying, words that couldn't be uttered. But that prophetic word changed her. Faith will change you. Faith will change you. Listen, faith, when you give birth to something, or that it's inside of you first, that concept, that ideal, that dream or desire, you'll do everything you can to protect it. And you'll do everything you can to declare it until you see it. And this is where she was. And we're going to see some more of that in Jesus' name. So watch this. So she leaves. She's not sad anymore. Next verse. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. I just think that's just beautiful. They got up. They worshiped the Lord. They had a little bit of breakfast together. And then what happened? And they returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah, knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So they went to church, had lunch, skyrockets in flight, afternoon delight. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The Starland Band? Somebody help me. Is anybody with me? 1976. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Y'all just think like an adult. Went to church, had some lunch, and came home. Took a nap. And there you go. Isn't God good? Y'all just looking at me like a lost. By the way, the Starland Band actually helped John Denver become a superstar by writing that song, Country Road. Yeah, they wrote that. That was pretty interesting. Just thought you'd know a little tidbit there. Country road, take me home to the place where I was born, Livonia. No, stop. Keep going. All right. My manager said keep going. Yeah. Anyways, take me home, country road. I thought it was pretty cool. So you know what happened, man. So here she is. Now the natural takes and kicks in, if you will. And what happens? She's going to have a baby. Is that right? The Lord remembered her. When did he remember her? Not during the afternoon delight. He remembered her when she was in the altar crying out to God, saying, God, I want to have this child. Then the natural thing just took place between a husband and wife, and there you go. Next verse. But the Lord will always remember you. Let me try that again. The Lord will always remember you. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name what? Samuel. You know what Samuel's name means? God heard, or God hears. Several translations of it. She even named the child prophetically from the desire of her heart and what she went through. That must have been a very powerful, powerful time of prayer at that altar, because it affected her so deeply that she named her child after that experience. God heard. God hears. Isn't that cool? Heard of God as well. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay? So check this out. That he bare a son, she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So she named it. She received it. And the man, Elkanah. Man, I can't get that right. And all his house, we'll just call him Elk. And Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord yearly sacrifice and his vow. So they continued to do so. Next verse. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. So here it is. She gets that time to be with that child, to wean that child. But I want you to see something here that's very interesting, is that, sometimes in faith, now the weaning process could be several years. It could be I think it's anywhere from 4 years old to 12 years old, something like that is what some of the translations and the scholars say. Either way, she took time to wean that child. The point I want you to see is, there are times when God will give you gifts of faith and the things that you're believing for, but they're only for a limited time. They ultimately go back to Him. We should always understand that everything that God gives us ultimately goes back to Him, somehow, some way, some form, some fashion, and that we keep nothing, take nothing, but we leave everything. Does that make sense? And so she knew that God let her have the promise. Then she had to fulfill that promise by giving Samuel back to the Lord. See, God takes it, He breaks it, He blesses it, and He gives it. Remember Jesus did that with the loaves of fish and the bread? He made a miracle out of it. Well, that's what He does. He takes that, and He makes a tremendous miracle out of it. Out of the loaves and out of the fish, He does a tremendous miracle. So it's very interesting. Another thing for you to see there. So she dedicated him to the Lord, and he was brought to the tabernacle. So let's check this out. And then I will bring him. Oh, go back. I wasn't finished. I'm sorry. That was my fault. And I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord, there abide forever. There it is, giving that gift of faith and saying, Lord, this is yours. It's yours. You know, well, a lot of times what happens is when we get something that we wanted from God, we hold on to it. There's two things that happen. One, we hold on to it, we become selfish, and then we end up smothering it. Two, we become satisfied with it, and we don't go for more. What we need to do is when God gives us the desires of our heart, we receive it, and then we say, Lord, what do you want to do with it? You gave me the baby, now what do you want me to do with it? You gave me the vision. You gave me the building. You gave me the church. You gave me the property. You gave me this stuff. Now, what do you want me to do with it? And then if you'll let him, watch it. If you let him instruct you in the ways of faith, he's probably going to tell you to give it. And as he tells you to give it, he will bless you beyond your imagination. He just will. It's the law of reciprocity. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You cannot outgive God. It's impossible. I challenge anybody on the planet of the earth or the planet of the apes. Whatever, any planet, I challenge you to tell me that that God's not a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. So love gives. And that's what we have to do in faith. Man, I love, that's a strong word. And I really believe that the church in these last days, and I think we're going to see this in more ministry from this pulpit. We're going to see more of what God is saying in the vision for the next couple of years. But as we begin to give, tremendous miracles are going to take place in our lives. Tremendous miracles. And you're going to be astounded by what you're going to see. Okay? I can't wait to tell you the word. You got to come back for New Year's Eve because it is going to be cool, man. Really cool. Okay. So she gives the seed, gives the young man to the Lord. Next verse. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me just say this too. That wasn't easy. Now, see, in our lives, what do? Which we have children, and we dedicate them to the Lord, and we bless them, and the preacher lays hands on them, puts some little oil on them, and says, you know, be blessed, you're sanctified unto the Lord, and you're going to be a prophet, you're going to be, and you go home with them. She didn't go home with this one. Huh? She had to leave them. And there's some things, watch, there's some things that God wants to get to you because he wants to get through you. So don't, you know, I'm not making fun of Joshua when he was younger. When he'd get something, he'd say, mine, 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 mine. I guess all children are that way, right? You know, he had a Thomas the Train. It was mine. He would hide it. I love it. And that's cool. That was just the way he was. And why am I going there? I don't know. Sorry, Joshua. But you just can't keep it. You have to learn how to give it away was the main point. Mine, mine, mine. Okay. Elk. And her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Again, she gave birth. She's bringing it to maturity. Next verse, which to me is even harder. And when she had weaned him, do you think she fell in love with him? Oh my gosh. Just think about it. I mean, you can't get no closer than a child and a mother, especially breastfeeding. I mean, it's an amazing thing to see. It's an amazing natural process that God gave. If you weren't able to do it, that's okay. But I mean, if you know anybody that was able to do it, it's an amazing thing. And God designed it that way. And there's a closeness that a child will always have with their mother, whether that had happened or not. I mean, it's a fact, isn't it? It's a fact of nature. So I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking about what an emotional roller coaster this young lady went through. She'd been provoked to anger, provoked to fretting and upset because of, you know, Sister Goldilocks over there shaking everything in front of her and the children and got my man and all those different things, and I got nothing. Then she bears her heart out, just totally falls out before the Lord. And then she gets the desire of her heart. Now she's looking at his beautiful little eyes, his little blue eyes or brown eyes or whatever, the cutest little thing, watching him walk. Probably helped him in his first words. Think about this with me now. You know, saw the first steps and all these emotional attachments to that word. But she had a vow, didn't she? She had a vow, and she took him up with three bullocks and one ephah of flour. Now, this bullocks here, when it says three bullocks, just understand it's really speaking of one. It's just the way the translation, because you'll see it here in just a minute. We're talking about one that was 3 years old. It was just the way it translated through the King James, and you'll see it in a minute. And a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. So notice she's bringing an offering as she's bringing her gift. She's bringing an offering and she's bringing the gift, which is Samuel. And the child was young. Again, this young child, this word here in the Hebrew translates like it did for David, being, you know, a little like a teen in a way. So again, the number is anywhere from 3-4 years old into 12 years old, possibly. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, we were almost in tears when I keep picking on Joshua, but he's 18. But you know, when he got in the car for the first time to drive somewhere, Texas, at every stop sign, right? Wish I had a low jack and follow them around or a drone. You know what I mean? Does that ever happen? And your heart just goes, ugh. You know. So, and he wants to go to college. I'm like, I don't know. I might go to college with him. I'm thinking about it. Why not? I can use a degree. All right, another one. Next verse. And they slew a bullock. You see it there, A? So it's just the way it translates. So sometimes you just catch those things, and it's just the way it is. And brought the child to Eli. So they had a barbecue, right? That's my translation. And they went to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Okay? He had to make sure, she had to make sure she knew who he was. He knew who she was. And for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Isn't that powerful? For this child I prayed. All right? I love that, man. What you know, to you and to me, what's our child? What are we praying for? What are we praying for? Again, in the life of faith, in the life of Christianity, we must learn how to pray for that child, to pray for that gift. In other words, look at this. If you lose your petitions to God, if you lose reasons to pray to God except for take care of me, watch over me, don't let the dog get hit by a car, you know, what? That's really shallow. And you're going to live in a very minimal life. But if you keep pressing in, no matter your age or stage of life, and say, Lord, I'm believing for this. I'm believing for future things. I'm believing for great things. I'm believing for mighty things. I'm believing for huge things, large things, big things, small things. What happens is your faith keeps you active and keeps you alive. It keeps you driving towards that goal. If you look at all the patriarchs, great men and women of the Bible, they never lost sight of faith. They never lost sight of the future. They never stopped dreaming big. Look at Caleb. Old man, give me that mountain. I'm well able to take it. Could keep seeing it. Moses kept seeing things until he got to the promised land, and he could only see it from a distance. But he saw it, and he pushed towards it. That's what the book of Hebrews is telling us, chapter 11, was these people had faith and they had vision, and they kept pressing till they got the baby, till they got the gift. Don't ever stop believing, because the day you stop believing is the day you start dying. The day you stop believing and walking in faith is the day you become a nominal Christian. Come on now. And don't let your physical body determine. Pray. You can say, God, look, I may not be able to do this right now or this stage of my life, but God, I can believe for great things to happen through me or through other people, or channel finances through me so I can help somebody else. Whatever it is. You get what I'm saying? And you keep that vision, that canopy large. You keep that whole thing large instead of so narrow. And many Christians have a narrow-mindedness of life. And when you do that, watch this, you minimize God. You put him in a box. And if you put him in a box, you've limited him totally. Isn't that amazing how children can think huge and big, and they got big dreams, and they can go to the stars, and they can go to the moon, you know, all these different things. And we're like, I can barely get to the kitchen. You know? I'm just believing God to get to the restroom. Amen. You know what I mean? Oh, my gosh. Depends. Anyways, come on now. It's the truth. So look, she's, therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. I love this. I have lent him to the Lord. I thought she gave him to the Lord. No, she lent him to the Lord. In other words, she knew that as I give him away, it's only for a little while. I'm going to have him always. He'll always be right here. Watch this. When you give to God, and I'm just going to talk about money for just a second. When you give money and you give faith in money, because faith and money are connected together. They are. When you give that, watch this. The money you give to the kingdom of God never leaves your life. It only leaves your hand. The world teaches you when you give away money or you do this, you've lost it. That's not true. When you hear in the news $13 trillion was just wiped off, no, it wasn't. It transferred. I'm going to break this microphone in 1,000 pieces. It transferred. It went somewhere else. Now, it left that dude's pocket, that corporation's pocket, that country's pocket, but it didn't leave the world. It can't. Even if you destroy all currencies, you still have the wealth of the earth in minerals and precious stones called gold, and on it goes, silver. So it's a misnomer, and we're taught wrong in the Christian church and our mindset, because now we limit God and we say, well, I can't do anything for God because I let it go. No, no. In order to get it to come back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and have it in more abundance than we could ever imagine, we let it go and we believe for it to return. Because it can't leave my life. I'm just telling you, it can't leave my life. If I sow into a foreign nation, yes, it left our bank account, it left the church, it left our hands, but it doesn't leave our life because God always pays back. He sees that account. He sees that due payment. He sees it, and he'll repay you beyond your imagination. And then all of a sudden, somewhere down your life, down the road of your life, bam, upside the head, you'll be like, what in the world was that? God, what did you give me? How did I get this? And he'll say, because of what you did, you already forgot about it. Are you seeing this with me, what faith does? So if I walk in that attitude of faith and I give my faith and I love my faith, I know that it's going to return back to me in its due season. And it's going to be better than when it left my hand. I'm going to tell you, when we start marching further into these next couple years, you're going to see some people that are going to be radical in their giving. They're just going to be radical in their love, and they're not going to care. Why should I care? Because my God's going to take care of it. Now, that's super faith, man. And you've got it inside of you. You just got to learn how to break off the fear. Somebody say amen. Therefore, also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. I got it. He's always going to be there. He's lent to the Lord. It's always going to be there. I will always know my joy is there. I always know my gift. Did Samuel leave her life? Nope. Did that gift of faith ever leave? Nope. It was exactly where it was supposed to be, doing exactly what God wanted it to do. All right, check this out. Next verse. You okay? Everybody sleepy? And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Now watch this. Remember I told you that faith has a song? And it has a song, don't it? This is a song. This is an actual song that she wrote. It's a prayer, but it's also a song. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. Wait a minute now. Maybe she did do some drinking. You just gave your child away. Come on now. Some parents today, they'd be like, yeah, praise God, they're out. They're six. I don't care. I mean, you know, it's time to go. I mean, got to get a job someday. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My heart, my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. She said, I knew it. I knew you were going to do it, Lord God. I knew you were going to do it. I knew it. I just knew you would deliver me. I let that seed go. I let that child go. I let that dream go. I had faith to believe, and I'm rejoicing in it. Next verse. What time is it? It's almost 8 o'clock. Come on, man. Come on, man. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. She gets it, man. She's like, there's nobody like you. She went through all the pain, though. She went through the near-death experience of having a child. But she reckoned, you better answer that. That might be somebody wanting some pizza or something. I got to close, man. I got to stop. I don't want to do this. I got to go, man. Flo's phone went off and messed me up. No, I'm serious. Somebody said, yeah, Flo, do it again. Do it next time. Nah, we'll get back to this. It's just too much. It's too much. And I blame it on Flo. Anyhow, we love you guys. I can't wait to teach some more on this. Now, remember, this coming Wednesday, we'll not have service. So we won't get ready for our New Year's Eve service then. But I hope this is... But I'll see you Saturday for church. I hope this is blessing you guys. I hope you recognize and realize, man, believe God, let that seed go, and God's going to bless you beyond your imagination. Father, thank you for this great story of Hannah. and Elkanah and everybody, Father, involved in this great story of faith. Help us to do the same, to walk by faith and not by sight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you guys. Be blessed. I'll see you Saturday.